Okay, so Wendy and John asked me to talk today about training for the public health workforce. So this is sort of separate from the types of training that I do with our medical students and our students in the School of Public Health. I was asked to put this slide up, which says I have nothing to disclose. Okay, so what I'm going to talk about today is just some approaches that I have found to be successful in trying to enhance epidemiologic skills for members of the public health workforce. And there's sort of two sections of types of training that I do outside of an academic setting. And one is through the New Jersey Public Health Training Center, which is for the public health workforce, which includes anyone working in public health is welcome to come to these sessions. The second is I do a substantial amount of work in tuberculosis. And one of the things I've become very active in is training TB control workers in how to use epidemiology in TB control. So I'll talk about that as well. So to start with, the New Jersey Public Health Training Center was started in 2010. It's a HRSA-funded project, and it's part of the public health training centers that's across the U.S. And the goals are there, there's four goals: conduct comprehensive assessments of the needs of the public health workforce, develop and implement training programs, establish collaborative projects which contribute to local public health capacity, and place fieldwork students and student interns in targeted communities to support local public health capacity. So I'm really just going to talk about the first two goals because that has to do with us, what we've done in terms of training. So the New Jersey Public Health Training Center did a needs assessment, and I just sort of highlighted why that we ended up doing what we did. A little over a third of the epidemiologists. Now, remember, in public health training centers, when they say they're epidemiologists, that means that's what they were hired as. But as I was told by the person who did these assessments, she said most of them are really public health nurses who are in those spots in the state and local health department. So they're really not all trained in epidemiology. So only a third were completely confident in their ability to analyze and summarize data. 10% said they were completely confident in their ability to critically evaluate the validity of an epidemiologic study. Among the nurses, only 10% that they said that they were confident in their ability to apply study design, data collection, and analysis. And what was interesting is when they asked how they'd like to have this training done, two-thirds of them felt that face-to-face interaction was the way they wanted to be trained, and they really thought that was important. So what I was asked to do was to put together a program. I did this with a colleague of mine, Bart Holland. We teach together in the medical school and the School of Public Health, and we called it the No Tears Review of Study Design and Statistical Testing. The whole idea is to make people comfortable and come in and listen. So the audience is very broad. We have public health nurses. We do have some MPH-trained epidemiologists who work in health departments it's been quite a while, so they need this review. We'll have research assistants, medical and public health students, medical residents and fellows, and even some seasoned clinical researchers. And it's a three-hour session with a break. It does sound like it's a long period of time. We do it 2 to 3 times a year, and surprisingly get about over 100 people come and register every year. The first time that we did this, we had a room for 130 people, and we had to say no because there were too many people who wanted to come. The response has been overwhelmingly positive to this presentation, and I'll show you. These are the topics that we cover: basic study design, you know, descriptive and analytical epidemiology, statistical testing, you know, how to test a hypothesis. We talk about sample size and power. I'll tell you the thing I find that people want the most is how to look at their data and how to write a report for someone, because that's what they're expected to do, be able to look, say, at their surveillance data in their local health department. And they really want more than that. In fact, after 3 hours, the reviews said, can we have more detail? You know, can you give us even a more detailed presentation the next time, or give us a whole day of this? So this is a little surprising to us that they wanted to see this, particularly since it's in a very, you know, traditional didactic kind of session, although both my colleague and I tend to be very willing to stop and answer questions, so we try just not to make it too dry. But it really is sort of a no-tears review, and so far they love it. So this is one way, and they clearly want this kind of training. The other type of training that I've done is much more specific to TB control workers. And in that, what we've done is we've tried to make the material content specific for them. So they really want to learn it because it's about tuberculosis. So So this work's been sponsored by the New Jersey Public Health Global TB Institute, and it's part of the Northeast Regional Training and Medical Consultation Centers that's funded by the Centers for Disease Control. We're one of four regional training and medical consultation centers funded in the U.S. This is our region. It's pretty large. And we provide training, technical assistance, and medical consultation to healthcare professionals throughout the Northeast. So the first type of training that we do is, well, actually, this is what we do is first we've conducted a number of needs assessments. And what they have said to us, the TB controllers, is that they really want more epidemiologic training. Because EPI can help them to analyze and make practical use of their data and to follow trends over time so they can say, is something changing in terms of incidence and prevalence of TB? Can we identify risk groups? And using that information, how do we allocate our resources? So we do three different types of training that I've been involved in. One is webinars. And the second is online work that is sort of self determined when you want to do it, and then some very content-specific epidemiologic written material that can be used as a resource. And I'll talk a little bit about each one. So basically, you can see this is a note that came out in the Global TB Institute's Northeastern Spotlight that goes to all the TB controllers in the area. And it said, it's not about location, moving the live TB program manager's workshop to a distance format. When they do not come to the course, bring the course to them. So what happened was we've been doing trainings with people throughout the Northeast, and when funding stopped for people being able to travel, it just wasn't working. We weren't getting as many people coming to Newark to do the training, or we would actually place it in Massachusetts. It would be in different parts of the Northeast, Massachusetts, New York, New Jersey. So we decided to try this as a webinar. So I learned how to, you know, give my presentation. I did a webinar, voiceover. People would listen to it. And then we'd do a live session where they would ask questions. We would do an exercise, work through the exercise. And again, that worked very well for a while. And then all of a sudden, you know, when you think a new method is going to work, that's great. And all of a sudden we found that there weren't enough people signing up. The epidemiology section was only one part of that course. And it's hard for people to continually stay on, even when they're working, to continually, if they were doing this like for a whole 1 week period, for them to be able to continue the work. So we've gone back to the on-site, so they're there for 2 days. And again, it seems to be working very well. We have more people who want to come. So I would say, you know, there's no one way to train the workforce, and you do have to be flexible. I would say that's probably the best message in this. Two other things that I wanted to talk about this morning was, one, a web-based curriculum that we developed at the Global TB Institute. It's actually published, if you're interested in learning more about it. It's published in Public Health Reports in the November-December 2011 issue. And what we decided, this was initially, first of all, we have a website, so we have registration, we know who's coming into the website, and it's being used, this information's being used both at national and international level, public health organizations and academic institutions, and we do have web software that allows us to monitor the number of visits and the amount of information that's been downloaded. The original purpose was to provide education and training materials to train those entering the public health workforce about tuberculosis. We found TB continues to challenge national and global public health efforts, but interestingly, in the United States, TB is not a big topic in schools of public health. You come up to a resistance for a lot of people because they say, why should I use the TB example when there's a lot of other things that we're more likely to see? In 2005, the National TB Curriculum Consortium did a survey, and it suggested that public health students were not adequately prepared for working in TB. And we did another, more focused 2006 needs assessment and confirmed this. Now, so the materials were, as I said, originally developed to train students in schools of public health, but we've actually found that we can flip it over and actually train TB control workers in epidemiology as well as other topics in the same way. So this, if you were to go to our website, which is called Incorporating Tuberculosis into Public Health Core Curricula, this is what it looks like. There are click boxes to how to use the material, learning objectives, and contributors. And then if you were to click on the View Curriculum, this is what you would see. So some of you may be familiar with this. It's from the Association of Schools of Public Health core curriculum. So this is the five core disciplines in public health, as well as interdisciplinary and cross-cutting competencies. And they gave us permission to use this on our website. And the idea is if you click on any one of these buttons, we have exercises that have been developed to illustrate the core curricula. So I'm just going to show you, if you were to click on the epidemiology box, what you'd see is four case studies and a fact sheet on primary, secondary, and tertiary prevention. We can add to this, and we will over time. They're in Word and PDF files. Everyone is welcome to download the material, to modify the material, and use it as it see fit. These are student versions. You can also click here and get the instructor's version, so the answer keys are there. The purpose for doing this was we thought faculty would be resistant to teaching something that they weren't familiar with. So if the answers are there and it's really simple, it should be easy for them to use it. And that we actually have had substantial success in getting people to use this. So, again, initially this was developed for the classroom, but we're finding that it's being used outside of the classroom for TB control workers, people who are already in TB control. And the final product I wanted to talk about was something, again, very content specific, because we find this is really the way to pull people in. It was developed in response to a need expressed by TB controllers that they really wanted more advanced training in epidemiology. So basically, we designed a manual, and interestingly, it's one of the most, the Global TB Institute has a tremendous number of products that they develop for training, and it's one of the most requested and downloaded topics. This is what it looks like. This is a PDF you can download. It's called Basic Epidemiology for TB Control Staff. And it's so positively reviewed, really basic epidemiology, that we've now doubled in size because they want more and more topics that they've asked us for. We have a second edition that's coming out in December of 2012. And again, this is all funded by CDC, so it's free to everybody, and it can be downloaded, and we hope that people will. So what I would say in closing, my observations are that there's a great desire for people to be trained in epidemiology, non-epidemiologists who haven't even had the training, some who've got the training and need refreshers, and that you can use a lot of different methods, but you have to be flexible, because when you think you've got a method that works, you may find that you need to change. And really, traditional lecture-based, they really still want. You can do interactive webinars as well, and self-study materials like the website that I mentioned, as well as the online manual, all seem to be working very well. Okay, questions?
Any questions? We have one question or so.
Okay. I guess I'll ask one on the webinars. Just. How interactive can those be, do you think?
So when we do the webinars, as I said, I'll do a basic epidemiology lecture, which is 45 minutes. That's pre-recorded. They can listen to it anytime they want. When we have the time when we're all talking on the webinar, we're doing an epidemiology exercise. And we have had about 25 to 30 people doing the webinar at the same time, and they actually get very actively involved. Everybody can speak. It's not, you know, you can have it moderated so people can raise their hand and not everyone's talking at the same time. But it's actually, we've been actually very successful in doing it. And, you know, for me, it was new the first time, and I'd say we did it about three or four times, and it's been, you know, very well received, and they're very willing to speak up.